So, you guys travel, you know, for like business, maybe go see family in other states. A lot of plane rides. We don't do it that often, but there's times that Hannah and I, we got to get on a plane, okay? And when Hannah and I first got married, you know, went, like our trip, like our honeymoon, went to New York, and then we went on trips for like youth kids. We took them to other states and a lot of planes and stuff. And, you know, when you're preparing for a trip, and we all know that there is a weight limit, right, on the bags that you can take on a plane, okay? We all know this. If you've ridden on a plane at any time in your life, you know there's a weight limit. And they're going to weigh you when you get there, and they're going to see, do they need to charge you more? Because if it's over, I think it was like 50 pounds at one time. It might be lower now. But, I mean, that's a lot of clothes, 50 pounds. But they weigh it, and they would, you know, like, oh, you're over. I guess it's harder on the backs of the people that sling them, so they got to charge you more, you know, whatever it may be. And so when we're getting ready for a trip, you know, I'm like, I don't want to pay another $25. This flight is expensive enough, right? I don't want to have to pay more money when I get there. So what we do is I like, all right, pack your bag, and then I'm going to weigh myself, and then I'm going to get off, and I'm going to pick up your bag, and then I'm going to weigh it again, and I'm going to subtract, and we're going to figure out how much this bag weighs if we need to remove stuff. And when we got married, Hannah, I don't know what it was. Like, anytime we went anywhere that was an hour away from our house, she had to be prepared for anything. You know, she had to have, like, 10 different types of shoes in her bag just in case a blizzard hit in July or the queen came and wanted to have dinner with us. She had to have her nice shoes, you know, all these variety of things prepared for any occasion, even though we're only going to be there for one day. You know, what the worst that could happen. And so she would pack the bag, and then, of course, the outfits had to all coordinate and match with the shoes. So you couldn't just have one pair of shoes with many different outfits. You know, no, it had to match. There's like different wardrobe changes. And she knew that she wasn't going to wear them all. She just wanted the options, right? And so we'd pack these bags, and I'm like, okay, you know, we got to keep it underweight. You know, I got to keep it underweight. And so we'd get there, we'd weigh it, and we'd weigh it to the house, and we're like, all right, we're good. You know, and then we get them in the car, and we go. And it never failed. We get to the terminal, I put it on there, and it's like, oh, you're 5 pounds over, right? And I even shot under. I did 45 pounds, giving it some grace, you know, because you don't know the scale difference and government policies. You don't know what their maintenance is on their scales and what it's going to be. So I allotted for that, some human error. We're still overweight. I don't know if she like stuck some more shoes in when I wasn't looking or something like that. I should have put the scale at the car. That way, you know, I could send it back. But it always happened, right? And so then the next thing that would go on is like, okay, we're in this awkward moment now. I don't want to pay the money. They're requesting money, or you change the weight of this bag. I'm like, okay. And it's like it always happened in slow motion. And Hannah's face to them, and she kind of just, honey, can we put stuff in your suitcase? The suitcase that I worked so diligently to keep the weight down. And in the back of my mind, I knew that it's a possibility. So I kept it down to 30 pounds, you know. I only got, you know, so many shoes, and I got a lighter toothbrush, you know, and little mini things, and just a little bit of deodorant, you know, just to keep the weight down. And so it never failed. She turned, honey, can we put this? So in the terminal, we're there. I'm having to yank stuff out of the He stuck it in the other one. I'm like, oh, that's so embarrassing. Pull the shoes out, but don't grab the undimensionables. Don't pull those out because that would be embarrassing. We don't want people to know we have those, okay? Those are secret. And so I'm like trying to be careful not to pull out those things, and shoes are just falling. Hair dryers and straighteners and makeup and all these things are compiling out, and I'm stuffing them in. The other husbands are kind of just like, oh, man, I feel for you. They're giving me the, you know, the Hunger Games. You know, dude, I feel for you, man. Oh, I'm about to have to do this in a couple of minutes. As soon as you're done, it's going to be my turn to throw the bag out and stuff it in the other one, weigh it, you know. And I feel bad for the person that's weighing the bags because I'm sure they're feeling my hostility and my anger in the moment, but it's just their job. You know, they're paid to say, you can't do this. And so But it always happens. And because of our relationship, she knows that I'll give, and I love her that much, because we've come to a point, because she ain't turned into a stranger that's going to stand and fly and say, hey, can I put some stuff in your bag? Can I do that? And she'll be like, no, you know, because the relationship's not there. But because she knows she has that part in my heart, she can do it and get away with it. Now, I love her anyways. You know, there's things in relationships that you have to, like, you roll with. And let's not even mention coming back home. You know, then you buy the souvenirs or the shoes that you saw there you had to have and that kind of thing. And so then more weight. I don't know how I make it happen. I, like, start putting shoes in my pockets and, you know, and that and things. And so, but the way back is even worse. But we do that to each other. That's a lot like our relationships. We have these baggage in our lives, these things that we collect, and it's clutter in us. And when we first meet someone, when you first have a relationship with somebody, a friendship or a spouse or whatever it may be, the relationship is simple, right? It's fun because it's simple. It's like, okay, I like you, you like me, let's do fun things together. It's easy. Let's learn about each other. It's simple. It's real easy. But there comes a point in the relationship where it's like, okay, we've crossed the barrier. Here's all the crazy. You know, let's open the bag. You know, can you? And what we do when we do that, we only show people the good side up front. Now, when we're showing them our rough side, what we're doing is we're taking things out of the bag and we're going, hey, will you hold this? Will you put this in your bag? And we begin to take some clutter out of ours and add it to somebody else and cluttering their bag and making their bags heavier. And what this ends up doing is perpetuating this thing where we just keep cluttering each other's lives and put more and more and more. Now, there is a, you know, I'm not saying that you can't talk about your problems or anything like that. No, 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 that's not what I'm saying. You talk things out with people. You work stuff out. People help you. But what I'm talking about is like gossip or betrayal, all these things that are negative in our lives that we start handing to people because we're close to them, we feel like, oh, they need to embark on this with me. They need to carry some of this baggage with me. Now, again, I'm not saying that people can't help you. I'm not saying that people can't enjoy, but there is a lot of things that we unload on people that is completely unnecessary. And so we're talking about being minimalists. We talked about what it means to be a minimalist and how it's not this, if you've seen the video, you kind of know how we feel about it, but it's kind of, people think something crazy, like how weird, all they own is a desk and a lamp, but really the mindset of being a minimalist is just taking the things that are unnecessary out so you can focus on what matters. Because when you have too much, your attention is divided, and you feel like you have to give it all attention. And so if you minimize down the stuff that really matters to you, you can focus on those things. So in our relationships, what does that look like? How can we be sacred minimalists in our relationships instead of perpetuating it? And this, I mean, what it really comes down to when we start injecting this clutter in relationship is that misery loves company. Misery loves company. Hannah was miserable at that terminal in the awkward moment, so she needed some company. So she handed me some of her baggage, and I put it in mine. In relationships, when you're going through this rough thing, or you're just ticked off this one person, you just can't stand the way they look, misery loves company, so they want you to not like them as well. They want you to be miserable about them as well. It's a human thing. Now, again, it's not that it's bad to share, like, things that are going in your life, things that are difficult, but there's a lot that we share that's not okay. So in Scripture, Paul knows this. Paul knows the human condition. He knows how people act and react and how it affects their walk with Christ. And so there's a moment in Colossians where he has to, like, lay it out, okay? Because Jesus is new. Jesus just hit the scene. Religion has been around, and it's all cluttered. It's all messy. People have injected things. They've added to the baggage of church to make it into something that it's not. So there was a lot of negativity at the time. And so when Jesus came, he put something new down. He added something new to pull other stuff away. And so when you came to know Christ, it was called being your new, it was a new self. It's like a rebirth. Your rebirth, you're new again. And so not only was it new, but he made you new. So Paul is addressing what it looks like to be a new self, because there's a confusion. It's like, okay, now I believe in Jesus and I follow, but what does that look like in regards to religion, what I have been doing? And so Paul lays it out. And so he starts a foundation right there. He's like, if you believe in Jesus, this, you're in your new self, this is what it needs to look like. This is how it pans out. He starts a foundation, because with anything in your life, you have to have a foundation. You got to have somewhere to begin. Otherwise, you're just running all over the place. And the direction that he gives is how the Creator meant relationships to be. Even before Jesus, God had an intention for relationships and how he designed them, and we cluttered them up. And so he gives clear direction. So he does that. I'm going to start in the middle. I'm not going to read the whole thing. So Colossians 3, 8 through 14. If you have the app, you can pull it open. If you have Bibles, you can turn to it, but it's also going to be on the screen. Colossians 3, 8 through 14. This is what Paul said to them. But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Wow. There's a couple of things that I want to point out that he hit on there. First, he said, this is what not to be. And he had to say specifically what those things is, because people were riddled with them. It was all about it, and the church was all about it. So Paul had to make you recognize, say, hey, let's point these things out. These are things that we're putting into our relationships that are causing them to be something that they weren't created to be. And so he's like, what does it look like to be a Christian? What does this look like? And honestly, the majority of what it means to be a Christian, yeah, the choice starts with us. But the outward appearance of what people see is how we treat others. So a lot of what you do as a Christ follower is about what you're doing to others and how you're treating them. This is a big thing that the church was missing. They were thinking it's all about what I'm doing, what sin I'm creating, how am I avoiding doing bad things, or how am I justifying what I'm doing? But then they're treating everybody around them like trash. They're doing slander. They're having anger towards them. Judgment. Being malice. They're having obscene talk to people. They're lying to one another. It's a very indicative thing to show how a Christ follower is by how they're treating people. The good, it's all actions towards somebody. And these actions that he mentions that we're not to do, be honest with ourselves, they feel good. Right? To have anger towards somebody when you're upset, when they've done something, even though it was justified or not, it feels good to have that anger, and you want other people to join in that. It feels good, but it's selfishness. It's all centered around selfishness, and that's why it feels good to us. But being a Christian, being Christ-like, is a lot more how we treat others. So we get the two mixed up. We start putting that in our lives, and every time that we that we do that. And they were doing this in time. What they're doing is they're adding baggage to people. They're adding baggage. And I like how he pointed out in here. He said, Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, slave, free. He named all of these things. He's saying it doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter who it is. If you're treating them in this manner, you're not in representation of the new self. You got to put these things away. Because we'll focus on the ones that matter to us, and we'll be nice to the people that matter to us. But what about the people that don't matter? What about the people that aren't Christ followers or believers or have a difference of opinion on something, who voted for somebody different, who voted for the other person? How do you feel about them and how do you treat them? Very revealing of your walk with Christ, because it doesn't matter who they are, any relationship level that you have, whether stranger or someone you've known, it matters how you're treating them. And he laid out for us the best practices of relationships. Like he said, it was mainly, this is the following of the Creator. Relationships were made in mimic of him and how he wants to have a relationship with us. So if he created relationships to be that way, that's the way it should be. Now, because they're not self-centered, they're more difficult. Because it's easier to please ourselves, it's hard to please others. So this is a difficult thing to do, but it's far more rewarding than anything we could do for ourselves. And if you might have been gotten a path to where you're just constantly doing selfish stuff, and that you get in that moment and you forget how rewarding it is to help somebody. And then that moment comes where the guy's begging for money, he's at 6'10" in Yale and he's knocking on your window, "Hey, can I have a couple quarters?" You hand some quarters over, you say, "Hey man, God bless you." You get this elation, like this moment. It's like, what happened to me just then? That felt so amazing, because that's more in line to what you were created to do than just live for yourself and be selfish. There's a design that God had. There's a design that he made relationships to be. And even though it's more difficult for us personally, it's more rewarding. And toward the end there, he's like, okay, what if you end up with somebody that's, like, in that time, if you believe the same thing in religion, there was so much conflict happening because there's a lot of finger pointing. You've done this. You've wronged me. There's anger towards you, towards others. And so Paul's like, hey, guys, we need some conflict resolution. We need some way to figure this out. And he talks about forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is the ultimate conflict resolution. Because you can forgive somebody even if they don't want to be forgiven. Because when they're rude to you or mean to you and they put that baggage in your life, it's your choice to let it go. It's your choice to release it. It was my choice to take on my wife's baggage at the airport. I could have said no, but I love her. So forgiveness is key. That's how they remove the baggage and the clutter. And at the very end, he says, okay, we went through all of this. Now listen to this. If you start with love, he's a begin with love. It's very important how we treat people. If we approach somebody new, or we approach somebody that we've known for a long time, that fresh that day, and if we start with love, a lot more possible, that's not right. It's very possible that you're going to be able to have an easier day, that easier relationship. You're going to be able to do it in its design. But if you start with anger, like Hannah and I, when we wake up in the morning, we got to choose, hey, we love each other. Because if we wake up mad, man, that day's just going to get worse from there. You know, if we wake up in anger, there's sometimes Hannah will have a dream, I did something wrong. And she wakes up, she wakes up and tells me, I'm so mad at you right now. And I'm like, I've been asleep. What did I do? You know? And she's like, I had this dream. And I'm like, well, it wasn't me. You know, that's another bill in your head. If you wake up angry, if you start with anger, it'll always end up in the wrong direction. So start with love. That's how you do it. So there's two aspects of relationship for you guys. Two aspects. It's directional. So it's what we give. So it's baggage out of our, it's clutter out of our bags. It's what we give people and how we add to that. Because like every time that you want to have anger or malice and someone's listening to you, they take that on. You're speaking it into their life. Now it's in their mind. And whatever it may be, it just kind of stays with them. And then now they're holding that clutter and baggage. So when you talk bad about somebody, when somebody, this happened the other day, I was trying to pull into Walmart and I forgot to use my blinker. And the guy that wanted to cross was mad at me that I didn't use my blinker. He could have went earlier. He gave me the finger. He shot me the bird, you know? And I'm just like, whatever. The guy's always already mad, you know, and I didn't put my blinker on, whatever. I guess it's warranted. I don't know. And Hannah is upset. She was mad. We get into Walmart and she's like, man, I'm so mad. I want to go take it out on that guy. You know, I want to go. She didn't say she wanted to give him the finger, but you know, she wanted to have it out with him. And so it lingers on us. When someone gives us negativity, it like implants in us and we hold on to it. Now that person, they're gone. I've never seen them again, but they left something with me. Now it's my choice whether I'm going to hold on to it or not. Am I going to hold on to that baggage, that anger, and then am I going to hand it off to somebody else because I can't let go of it? It's too heavy for me, so I'm going to give someone else some anger. So I could have reacted the same way to the next person that cut me off. It's your choice how you're going to treat people. It begins with us, but a lot of what we see in your Christ, in your walk, has to deal with how you treat people. Misery loves company. Don't invite people to your misery. Now, if you have a problem, again, if you have some issue going on in your life that you need help with, he did tell us to carry burdens, to help one another. But if it's just negativity for the heck of it, it's going to give them baggage. It's going to clutter their lives. And then the other aspect, the other direction, is what we receive, what I just talked about. When we receive that baggage, we hold on to it. We put it in our bag, and then we drag it around the airport, drag it around in our lives for so long. And the only way to get rid of it is to forgive them. Is to forgive them. And if you have ever done this, I mean, there was times in my 20s that I had to tell myself, Lord, I forgive that person in high school that bullied me or tried to make an example of me or something. That coach that I didn't like that was just always mean to me, that teacher, whatever it was, I had to forgive them, even though they didn't know it. They didn't know that I was forgiving them. They didn't know that it was even going on. But because I did that, I was able to let go of that baggage. It stopped dragging me down and weighing me down. You have to forgive. That's the key to letting go of baggage in your life and minimizing is forgiving them and letting it go. And so in your relationships, every relationship that you have, whether it's a brand new one or one that you've had for a long time, start with love. If you start with love, you will find the path is much easier to stick in with the design of what God created relationships to be. That's where it begins. And that it's an amazing thing that God loves us. Because it says in Scripture, he first loved us before we could love him. And that's a very good thing for us. Because if God had anger towards us, it would not be good. Our lives would be very different. This world would be very different. But because he first had love for us, he gives us opportunities. He has grace for us. He has kindness toward us. He has patience with us, a lot of patience. For some of us, a lot of patience. Me, I'm one of them. A lot of patience for me. So let's award other people with that. Because you've been given grace. You've been given patience. God started with love for us. You start love for others. And then people get to see Jesus in you. And you get to see the opportunities that Jesus had to affect people's lives. Keep it in line with the design of what he created relationships to be. That's to begin with love. So if we minimize in our lives, you want to be a sacred minimalist of your relationships. First, stop giving baggage to people. If you have an issue that they need help with, that's one thing. But if it's nonsense, if it's negativity just to be negative, don't give that to people. If that person made you angry or if you didn't like their haircut, you don't have to tell somebody. You don't have to spread the news. I'm not saying you can't talk about things with people. That's okay. But you know, we know what the line is. We know when it begins to taste good, that you, oh, I just had to tell them, oh, it's just going to taste good. That's the line. That's where it turns into, now you're handing off baggage. Because you judge them, and now you're going to get them to judge them, and now they're holding that with them. Don't give people baggage. Stop doing it. And then in your life, let go of the baggage. Forgive people. Even though they don't deserve it, it's completely justified that you would have raw feelings towards them, negative stuff. Forgive it anyways, because they're not carrying that baggage. You are. You're the one that's having to deal with that. They've said it, and it's gone. It's in your hands now. Let it go. Forgive them. Even though it's justified, forgive them. Because it's not hurting them. It's only hurting you. It's just making your life heavier. And then start with love. So if we can follow that path of not giving people baggage, forgiving the baggage out of our lives, and starting with love, you're well on your way to being a sacred minimalist in your relationships. Because you will find that when you push all that stuff away and you get rid of those things and your relationships stay simple and they stay pure and you focus on what matters in those relationships, your relationship will be more impacting for you and for the other person. And it's like it's infectious. People start gravitating towards you. They want to be your friend because only goodness comes from you. Because you're patient, because you're kind, because you're meek, and you have grace, and it's contagious, and they want that. So that's for you personally. Now, us as a church can give baggage, and we know this. This area is very evident for that, because not everybody's excited about church in the loop. And it has a lot to do with the baggage that church has given them. What we've done is Jesus came, hit the scene, he gave us the new way, he told us how to do it. Then over 2,000 years, we've added some baggage. We've thrown some things in there. We've put our doctrine around things, our philosophy around things, and we've created it more than what it's supposed to be. Something pure and honest and simple. And so because of that, we've added baggage to the community. Even if they didn't go to church, we've added baggage. We've added judgment. And like I said last week, a lot of people just assume the church judges them. If they don't go to church, they just assume the church is going to judge them for who they are, whatever's going on in their life, so they don't even want to show up. They don't want to even give it a chance or an opportunity. So a lot of what we do is fighting against that perception. So we have to be careful not to perpetuate the baggage in people's lives, to not harbor negative things. We were meant to remove clutter from people's lives. Jesus came to simplify, to take it, draw it down, and said, this is what I want you to do. And he even took, like I said in the previous sermons, he took all commandments, all laws, and he boiled them down to love one another as I have loved you. Boiled them all down to one commandment. If you start with love, you'll do it all. He is a minimalist, and he's trying to minimize for us so that we can focus on a relationship with God, and we can focus on the people. So what does that mean for us? That we don't put baggage on other people, but we don't also accept baggage. There's going to be people that are mad at us for being Christians, mad at us for organizing, being a church, mad at us for all these things. And what I see a lot in church is that hostility is returned. They're going to fight back. No. That does not help anything. And if you've seen the news and some churches go and they protest events and sell them, they're all going to hell and God hates them and all, it's nuts. Jesus never asked us to do that. Never told the church. Because we can't forgive them for not understanding us. We want to hate them. We want to push them away. And that does not help. It just makes it worse. And that adds baggage to a church. And a church, a group of people that have come together and they believe and they started out pure, when they add that to their group, It's like a cancer. It grows and it turns into something ugly. And that ugly thing is what's burned into people's memories that don't go to church in the community. That's what's burned in the memories. Or people that have gone to church and they were burnt, and that's all that they remember. So we have to forgive people. They don't want to come. It's okay. All right, hey, we love you anyways. You know, and the door is always open, regardless of who you are. I say it many times. If people are coming here to look for perfect people, they're not going to find them. We are a group of imperfect people just living life together and trying to figure it out. Okay? We do not expect you to be perfect here. It is not a qualification. And so as a church, as Village Heights, we start with love. It begins with love. And even in our mission statements, in short, it's faith-compelling love, love-compelling faith. So it's our faith, it's our foundation that compels us to love the community regardless of what they look like, regardless of what our relationship is with them or what they do to us. And then it compels them. They go, okay, that felt good. I don't know what that is, but that feels more right than anything I've had in my life. So it compels them to faith. It's ever-ending and it's always happening, no matter where they're at in the relationship, no matter where they're at in life. And that's what we want to present to this community. So that's why we do action groups. That's why on Sundays we come as you are. All are welcome. So help us. So my challenge to us as a church, help me do this. Help us make this happen. Let's continue to love this community. And the more that join in, the bigger the love gets, the further it spreads, and the more in line we get with the design of what the Creator meant relationships to be. I'm going to pray, and we're going to close out. Guys, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being in relationship with us. Whether you're new, whether you've known us for a while, thank you. Because it's hard work being in relationships. Because we add so much clutter. But help us be sacred minimalists individually and as a church, so that we can focus on what truly matters. That's loving other people. Start with love. Lord, thank you for today. I thank you for this awesome lesson that you had for us, Jesus. I'm so glad for Paul that he noticed that this needed to be said. There was some confusion. Humanity was flawed, that misery loved company. And he had to, hey, let's point some things out. Thank you so much so that we could have this and we could learn it and we can apply it to our lives to help us in our walk and our relationship with you, Jesus. Thank you so much for that. Lord, help us individually. Take the veil off our eyes, the wool off our eyes, whatever you want to call it, Lord, to be able to focus on the things that matter, the relationships that matter and what matters about them. Help us to see the areas of baggage that we're handing people and we're asking them to carry for us when it's completely unnecessary to relationships. Lord, and help us continue to build our relationships over what they're designed to be, what the Creator meant them to be, so they can be simple and pure. Lord, and bless Village Heights. Help us continue to be the church that loves people and is here to unclutter their lives and to give them a simpler way, a way that they were meant to be, were created to be. Thank you, Jesus, so much. Thank you for all that you do for us. Bless this day, bless these great people, and bless our new action groups that are about to start. In your holy name, in your holy name we pray. Amen.